of 1839, the place was New York State. In the Hudson River Valley on the Rensselaer Estate, a sheriff seeking rent pay was warned what he might find, and there were tin horns blowing from the hillside. What the shrieking of the horns meant, the sheriff wasn't sure, but he was met with opposition that was stronger than before. As farmers dressed in calico came pouring out the woods, the tenants then assembled and stopped him where he stood. He presented them with writs demanding back rent pay. They seized the writs and burned them and sent him on his way. For so long they had suffered, but now they organized, and there were tin horns blowing from the hillside. Now this was not the first time the tensions rose like this. Back in 1750 and again in 66, they fought against patroonship, against the landlord's rule, and this time they were ready for a battle. Mass meetings of the tenants led to organized dissent. That same December they came again collecting rent. What the sheriff and his posse of 500 didn't know was there were 2,400 in calico. They were armed with clubs and pitchforks, assembled and arranged. They sent the sheriff and his soldiers back the way they came. They said the revolution was once again alive, and there were tin horns blowing from the hillside. Landlord owned the stores, the timber, all the houses too. Put yourself in the picture and think what you would do. He taxed you for your labor and he taxed you for your land. Every farmer in the valley was a servant. He was free to ride his horse and drink his wine and gather wealth. So far from the misery he'd never know himself. Over 80,000 people were impoverished by his greed, while he was filling his life up with luxury. Calico was chosen as the costume for the plan, paying tribute to the natives who'd been driven from this land. They agreed to take their power back, assembled by the cry of tin horns blowing from the hillside. In county after county, the movement spread and grew, till over 10,000 were prepared to see it through. They tarred and feathered deputies and burned the landlord's writs, direct action against the culprits. By 1845, it was clear it wouldn't last. They introduced petitions, but of course they didn't pass. After a farmer killed a deputy, the troops were ordered in. Nearly 100 tenants were imprisoned. They tried a few with murder, sentenced two more to be hanged. Forced two to write letters, urging others to disband. It wasn't long before the politicians slithered in, reduced the sentences to life in prison. The next governor elected pardoned those still locked away, passed some laws and made some speeches, but kept things much the same. They maintained domination of the many by the few, though some aspects were abolished and the owner class grew. They crushed them with their weapons and they crushed them with their law. But if you listen closely, you can hear the tin horns call. They can build the strongest shackles, but one day they will crack. And as history repeats, people learn from the past. Yes, there's a warning in this story for the tyrants of today. From Philly to Chiapas to Immokalee. When the water starts to boil, then the pot will overflow. It won't be long before you hear the tin horns blow.